Welcome back to the Pinstripe Podcast. I'm your host, Scott. I'm going solo. Lexi sadly cannot make it this week, but there's not much to talk about this week. Let's start with the biggest thing, and then we'll move to the Yankee things, and then we'll move to the et cetera things. So to start off, the big move everybody heard, Yamamoto signs with the Dodgers, an insane contract, to put it that way. Yamamoto signing a 12-year, $325 million contract with the Dodgers puts it as the most guaranteed dollars ever to a pitcher. That is a crazy amount. Essentially what it is I think $350 total, because they have to, it's $325 to him, and then I guess $25 million to the organization that had him earlier, so his team in Japan, to release him. They need to pay that team. So a lot of money spent from the Dodgers, and a lot of money spent on Yamamoto. The total is that between Ohtani, Yamamoto, and Glasnow, which again, Ohtani's contract is separated into years, even though there's a whole thing of him only getting $2 million a year. They still divide him and put his contract into what he would be averaging per year if his $700 million contract was actually divided. That was a total of $1,161,500,000 spent by the Los Angeles Dodgers between Ohtani, Yamamoto, and Glasnow, all within 2 weeks of each other. This, we talked about it last week, this is possibly the biggest breakout that we will see. Now people are going to start probably influencing the sign. Haven't seen it much yet. Maybe the new year, they're probably waiting for to make the big splash come 2024. But right now, the starting rotation for this 2024 year, with Ohtani being out because of Tommy John, right now the starting rotation for the Dodgers is Yoshinobu, Yamamoto, Walker Buehler, Tyler Glasnow, Bobby Miller, and Emmett Sheehan. That sounds interesting. That sounds like a very interesting group, because Yamamoto, again, $325 million spent on a guy who has not thrown a pitch in the MLB. But Walker Buehler, who's coming off of a season-ending injury. Tyler Glasnow, who's coming off of a season-ending injury. Bobby Miller, who has 1 year in the majors, even though it was a very dominant year. We'll give him respect for that. And Emmett Sheehan, who hasn't even had a whole year in the majors. A very high-risk rotation they have going on right now, and we'll see where that ends them. My biggest thing about this Yamamoto deal, Yankees came out and said, hey, look, we gave them, we offered $300 million. The Mets offered $325 million. Yamamoto ended up going to the Dodgers, of course, clearly. But the Yankees said, hey, we are not paying this guy more than our ace. He is not going and getting paid over Gerrit Cole. Makes total sense. And Yamamoto goes somewhere where he could be a number one, because he's not going to be a number one at the Yankees. I don't think anybody the Yankees, I mean, 100% nobody that the Yankees pick up is going to be a number one. But Yamamoto has at least a year being the number one to prove himself, possibly being the further number one. I think has a good shot of being a number one over Shohei. Shohei, of course, very good pitcher, but A, coming off of Tommy John, and B, I think that there's the ability for somebody to be better than Shohei at pitching. My biggest thing is, since Shohei Ohtani, there has been very few pitchers who came into the MLB from Japan and immediately were good. Most recent one I could think of would probably be Yu Darvish. But Yu Darvish and Shohei Ohtani, really the two most stable and staple arms that have come from Japan and immediately made a difference since coming over. You could look at somebody like Tanaka, did not make a difference immediately, and even beyond that, he was not as dominant as what these guys are supposed to be. I think it is a big risk for Yamamoto to get as much money as he has. I know, again, he's supposed to be this absolute stud of an arm, but I think it's still a huge risk. You're looking at a different baseball, you're looking at a different environment, and you're looking at straight up better hitters. I personally think you are looking at a ton better hitters in the MLB than you do in Japan. I think Japan, you have a very large fluctuation. You will have a lot of very good hitters, but then you'll also have plenty of bad hitters. There's a reason that there are pitchers with a sub 2 ERA, and there are also batters who have a plus 400 batting average. So I think a consistency of challenge and skill that he's facing up against might hurt Yamamoto. And again, it's such a risk on a guy who has never touched the MLB soil, and especially for his 12 years. I mean, that's a lot of years. That's a large commitment from a pitcher. This guy's 25 coming over. He'll be 37. You're trying to own this guy for his entire career. And that's going to be, that's a big risk from the Dodgers. Already seen it from Shohei. Glasnow had a big deal. The Dodgers are making big moves, but big risks to go along with it. They still have not added a ton on their offensive side. They've been reliably on their pitching. And I guess you could say Shohei was their offensive side, saying that he's not pitching this year. But still, overall, I think there's still a large gap at the bottom of the Dodgers batting order between Miguel Rojas, even Gavin Lux at short. I think there's still plenty of openings that can be filled offensively, and the bottom of the order is their problem point at this point. To go to Yankee news, there isn't a ton. However, we did make a trade. It was a very minor trade. If you went and looked at our Instagram, you would have seen it. We traded Esteban Florial to the Cleveland Guardians for a pitcher in a very similar situation, Cody Morris. My best breakdown of him is he is the pitching version of Esteban Florial. He's 25, and he has some time in the majors. He is this year, this past season, and the season before it, he had time in the majors. Short stints, especially this past year. Guy's pretty good. I think we'll probably end up in our bullpen at some point. This was not a trade to go and get a starter to be in our top five, but it was a move to make, and especially get rid of Florial, who, honestly, unless we see him the same purpose that we've been seeing him every year of everybody gets hurt, I don't think we'd be seeing Florial much. But I think we have too many outfielders who would be going in front of him. But that trade is made. Cody Morris most likely will start on the team because our bullpen, I think, is very much severely lacking. But that's really the only Yankee move. Yankee adjacent moves happened all over the place. And by all over the place, I mean just Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. IKF signs a 2-year, $15 million deal with the Toronto Blue Jays, sending him there. I put it simply that we should have went and put a contract out for IKF. And if he declines it, or if somebody else outbids us, let him go. IKF is a very quality person, a very quality player, and I don't think that a lot of Blue Jays fans would recognize that, is that he did do everything. I mean, he went from a guy who showed up and played a pretty poor shortstop to a guy who went and played literally every position for us last year and has shown that at times he was our offense, which is really sad to say when you're talking about the Yankees. But I think that letting him go, 2 years, $15 million, let him be. So best of luck to IKF, except when they're playing the Yankees, of course. But I think that's a move by the Blue Jays, and they match that up with also re-signing Kevin Kiermaier to a 1-year, $10.5 million deal. Just to add to keeping an outfielder, and we'll say it as much as we need to say it, Kevin Kiermaier is, you know, possibly the best defensive center fielder in the last, I don't know, you probably say 8 years. I was going to say the last 10, which probably is also true, but I don't want to outreach here. I mean, he's automatic defensively. It's just his offense. So not much improvement there total by the Blue Jays on his offense, but offensively through these two pickups this past week. But IKF most likely going to be a fourth man everywhere. That's sub everywhere across the field. So best of luck to those two. But the Blue Jays haven't made a concerning move, especially saying that they still have Matt Chapman on the free agent block. Only a few other moves happened this week. The first one was Yuki Matsui signing a 5-year, $28 million contract with the San Diego Padres. Matsui is kind of somebody who isn't as well known. He's a reliever closer. At least he was in Japan. He had 200 saves in Japan. And so it's good move, good adding to the bullpen, somebody to have. There is a opt-out after third and fourth year and an injury clause that can convert the fifth year into a club option if the Padres so please. So that's the secretive one. That's kind of one that went under the table. He's out there. He just got picked up. I think people don't look at relievers, of course. And again, equally as much of a risk. The one person that is still out there is a pitcher from way out west. I guess you say east, depending on how you want to look at it, is Shota Manga, who's still out there and is kind of low on free agency boards. But that's a legit starting pitcher that the Yankees could get. And now I want to get into a few of those ideas. Right now, the three biggest pitchers on the free agent block is, of course, Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery, and Shota Manga. I think that a Manga would be probably the best option for the Yankees if we don't decide to go and trade for somebody, which there's a fine line. We have traded a lot of people. Dylan Cease is still out there, but we have traded a lot of our guys. Right now, our prospect list is really barely consisting of any prospects, any real quality prospects. We have Spencer Jones, but right now that's completely, you can't get rid of Spencer Jones without finding out what you're going to do with Juan Soto, which again is absolutely up in the air. It is completely unknown what that decision is going to be. And you can't get rid of Spencer Jones. I think it's a fine line of what we do with both of the Oswaldo and Oswald, Peraza and Cabrera. What we do with them is going to be a massive question mark. Those two are really the only people we have left to trade, I'd see, until we start digging deep into our prospects list, because there's not many left. Trey Sweeney was kind of reaching when we traded him away, but nonetheless, I think it's really risky for the Yankees to make any more trades this year, especially in the exact, as I said, you know, we get rid of, or not get rid of, but if Soto doesn't sign back, then that puts a position of our outfield being kind of what we expected of Judge, Dominguez, Jones, which I think is a great trio, but if you have Soto in there, you have Soto in there. That's your plan for a very long time, and you know, especially with Judge being, whatever, 32, Spencer Jones being 22. There's quite the difference there, but who knows, maybe they keep him around and want to go and bring him up. I don't know. I don't know what the Yankees want to do. That's too far for me to guess. I think Blake Snell 100% cannot be the guy, for the reason that if Yamamoto just got $325 million, a two-time Cy Young in both leagues, that Blake Snell is going to ask for 275, That's what I'm going to see him getting around or asking for, at least. It could go down all the way down to 250, but he's going to want a lot of money because that starts that whole thing of people were talking about, hey, Yamamoto just got $325 million. He's never thrown a pitch in the MLB. Blake Snell can be, hey, I just want a fucking Cy Young. I can do what I want and ask for possibly up to 300. I think it would probably end up between 250 and 275. He is older, however, so it probably gets knocked down roughly to 225 over, I don't know, what, he's probably 35, probably has 4 or 5 years in him, so that probably knocks it down to maybe about 200 across 4 or 5 years is what he's looking for there, which still is a lot. I think he's going to look for a lot of money, and that's just something that the Yankees should not do. And you go to Jordan Montgomery, who I think a lot of Yankees fans want back. I don't think the Yankees should grab on him for the purpose, not the Yankees shouldn't grab on him, but that Montgomery shouldn't come back. He should decide that this is a team that kind of ditched him and hurt him. He shouldn't come back to it. So that kind of throws him out the window, so there's not a lot of options left. So personally, whatever we do, I think Manga would be our best chance right now. Our starting five excludes Montas, but it would be Cole, Rodon, Cortez, Clayton Beater, Luis Gil, which, again, I'm very excited to see Luis Gil come back. Clayton Beater scares me because he only had a few innings in AAA, and he's just going to get thrown into the majors. I think that's quite a big jump, especially for a pitcher like him. I just would wish he has a little bit more time. But we'll see what happens. Hopefully the Yankees make a move in general, really, soon, that is actually substantial. I mean, again, it kind of feels like a long time since the Soto trade. I gotta remember we did do that. But we'll see. We have, you know, big events coming up this weekend, so probably won't happen until after those. There's only two more really moves that happened. Two more moves that did actually happen. Mitch Garver moves to the Mariners on a 2-year, $24 million deal. This is the first positive move the Mariners have made. They made a lot of moves away. They dropped a lot of guys, dropped their money. But this is their first move towards something that can actually improve their team. And honestly, Rangers fans were a little sad that Garver left, just because he's been with them for a long time. But at the same time, it's not really necessary. He's not overly necessary there at Texas. They have such a young core that it's good to see him go and move to the Mariners. And the Mariners, I don't think this is a big enough move from the things that they have left. And Eugenio Suarez, Jared Kelnick, things like that, who really have changed the team in a lot bigger of a stance than the Mariners can buy back. The second move was that Martin Maldonado went to the White Sox. There were possible rumors of Maldonado going to the Red Sox because of a post or story or something that Rafael Devers posted that had him and Maldonado in the same photo. It was a game shot, so it was him hitting a home run with Maldonado catching, and there was some kind of caption. So people were like, oh, maybe there's something there. Turns out it was the wrong Sox. Martin Maldonado goes to the White Sox, which really just keeps digging a hole for the White Sox here. He's going to probably be their everyday starting catcher. But this is still a team that's still a guy that hits below 200. You know, Maldonado is not a good offensive bat, probably one of the worst, if not the worst offensive bat in the MLB, but is a great defensive catcher. So it's a mix of improvements there from the White Sox. But, you know, best of luck to them. The final thing I just have to say is the retirement of Andrelton Simmons. This is a guy who's been everywhere. Andrelton Simmons has been with a ton of teams, and really just the end of his career, and I think that's kind of that showing of how, you know, it's kind of coming to a close once you start moving to a lot of teams, and especially when you start moving to some of these teams that you don't be as proud of. He was able to get to the MVP talks 3 times. He was a 4-time Golden Glover. Time with Atlanta, time with LA, and then end of his career. Spent a little time with the Brewers, spent a little time with the Cubs. This is a guy who came in at 22 and is now leaving at 33 or 34 years old. So it's going to be interesting. He had the whole all of last year off, all of 2023, did not find a team or was in the minor leagues. But it's somebody who kind of made a little bit of a statement. He was one of the few Platinum Glove Award winners. Career batted 263, 70 home runs, had a 37 WAR, so a plus WAR primarily on his defensive side, but that's a guy who's purely around for his defensive abilities. Never hit even 20 home runs. His most was 75 RBI. So this is a guy who is kind of just somebody to remember. You know, Andrelton Simmons was that guy at shortstop who was pretty damn automatic. So best of luck to him in retirement. We hope the best, hope the safest. And, you know, it's great to hear that he's realized that. It's always good to see people. I feel like it's good to see people realize their retirement's coming around, and making the move. But yeah, best to him. But on our side, that's it. That's all I have. There has been so few moves that happened this week, holiday weekend, last weekend, and next weekend. So probably not many moves. We'll talk, come back here next week, hopefully with Lexi here. But for me and the Pinstripe Podcast, that is all we have this week. Hope to see you next week. Bye.